What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero, because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back to our show, hour number two. The phone lines are open, 512-248-8252. And interestingly enough, over in France, President Macron got hooked up in this scandal surrounding Uber. Rent your car, drive around people. And apparently Uber had made a lot of deals with a lot of politicians to gain an advantage over competitors. Macron got caught up in that, signing a deal when he was the economy minister between 2014 to 2016. And that has now prompted calls for Macron to resign. And Les Patriots leader Florian Philippot said Macron must resign. He betrays France, its companies, the state, justice, our people, out. If after the Uber files, the oppositions don't vote no confidence today, I don't know what they need. So a lot of anger over there. A lot of anger all over the world. I mean, meanwhile, in Japan, mourners have gathered at a Tokyo temple to pay their last respects to Japan's former Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, and hundreds attended a private wake late in the day, and a private funeral was scheduled for earlier today. And among those who came to the wake at the Zojo-ji Temple were Japan's current Prime Minister Fumio Kishida, U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, and U.S. Ambassador to Japan Rahm Emanuel. There were also former prime ministers and representatives of the emperor. So there we are on that one. Now, Abe is having an effect. Whether it's collective guilt over his being killed, but Japan's Liberal Democratic Party has secured the power to fulfill Abe's dreams. They've won enough seats to comfortably secure the two-thirds majority needed to push forward the long-debated constitutional changes, according to local media. The ruling coalition claims 76 of the 125 seats up for grabs, expanding its majority in the House of Councilors. It's unclear if the shocking assassination of former PM Abe had any result on the outcome, as turnout remained relatively low at only 52%. Okay. Meanwhile, the Presbyterian Church here in the United States has added its voice to a growing choir of religious institutions naming Israeli apartheid. In a decisive 266 to 116 vote, commissioners attending last week's General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church approved a resolution titled On Recognition That Israel's Laws, Policies, and Practices Constitute Apartheid Against the Palestinian People. And this is definitely something we're starting to see swarm all across the country. And Israel, of course, is very unhappy. Oh, you're all anti-Semites. You're a bunch of Jew haters. You want Hitler to come back and gas Jewish babies in the ovens. Anyway, over in Korea, tensions continue to simmer, well, basically all around the world here. But the flashpoints we're looking at, obviously Ukraine is one of them. And the other one appears to be North Korea, which is turning into the front line in the U.S. tensions with China and Russia, mostly with China. Now, since North Korea's first nuclear test in 2006, the U.N. Security Council has unanimously adopted 10 resolutions condemning such military activities and supporting international sanctions against the country officially known as the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. And this unity was shattered for the first time on May 26 when Beijing and Moscow vetoed Washington's proposal to punish Pyongyang for recent missile tests. And so the tensions are growing over there. A lot of people very, very concerned about a public service announcement being aired on television in New York City, giving advice on how to prepare for a nuclear attack. And, you know, being prepared for a nuclear attack would be a good idea for pretty much everybody in the country, especially around the military bases. But a lot of people are concerned that New York, once again, is going to be the stage for a false flag attack to really kick off the wars. Okay, we have open phone lines, 512-248-8252. And our military has impressed the world once again last Sunday. An F-A-18 Super Hornet fighter jet was blown off the deck of the USS Harry S. Truman into the Mediterranean. It was blamed on unexpected heavy weather during a replenishment at sea. Now, I'm not in the U.S. Navy, but I was always under the impression that unless the planes were being launched or recovered, they were tied down to the deck. But apparently not in this case. And so that F-18 Super Hornet, which you paid for, is now at the bottom of the Mediterranean, and no doubt all kinds of submarine surveillance vessels from other countries are racing to try and salvage the wreckage to reverse engineer it. Getting into the economic news here, Secretary of Commerce Gina Raimondo on Sunday criticized an advancing serious recession, claiming inflation is the nation's number one problem and the Biden administration's top priority. Well, if that were true, the Biden administration would stop creating tons of money out of thin air and spending it on all kinds of nonsensical stuff here. And in an interview on ABC News, Raimondo said that the United States comes out of the pandemic. As it comes out of the pandemic, there'll be a more traditional growth level, but I don't think that we should be talking ourselves into a recession. Actually, I think the recession is already here, and this is just more grandstanding to try and look as good as possible for the upcoming midterm elections. Over in New Jersey, Costco is now putting limits on gasoline sales because of the supply shortages. And state law in New Jersey has long required that Costco allow anyone, including non-members, to purchase gasoline at its fuel stations. This is now changing. Now, gas is typically, though not always, cheaper at Costco than it is at other service stations. And because of this, residents of New Jersey without Costco memberships tend to go there instead of the local Shell station. I remember when we were on Hawaii, the Costco gas station had the cheapest prices in town. However, this week, Costco has implemented a new rule across the state. Customers without memberships will now need to get one first at the Costco fuel center before being allowed to fill up their tanks. Costco memberships are not that expensive, and they're actually quite useful for the store itself. So we're all dealing with these gasoline prices here, and you know, Joe Biden is out there saying gas prices are high because supply is low. On Biden's first day in office, he shut down the Keystone pipeline, which reduced supply. Biden canceled all on and offshore oil leases on federal land and waters that decreased supply. Biden canceled the purchase of all Russian oil, less supply. And Biden's EPA restricted West Texas drilling to 1,000 feet per day from 3,000 feet per day, again, reducing supply. It does look like this is deliberate. And, you know, Joe Biden says, well, just go out and buy electric cars. Everything will be fine. Well, two problems. Electric cars are very expensive. The manufacturing of the batteries that go in them is actually quite polluting to the environment. And these batteries are still being recharged primarily with oil and gas and coal-fired power plants. So like any politician, he's out there with something that sounds good but hasn't really been thought through all the way to the end. Meanwhile, Europe is on high alert as Russia temporarily halts gas flow from the Nord Stream 1 pipeline. Now, Russia is saying the pipeline needs maintenance and it's going to be shut down for at least a week. I think they may be sending a message. Europe, of course, is concerned that at the end of the week, Russia will say, well, we're just not going to bother reopening that valve. you know, just because, you know, you're not friendly to us anymore. Meanwhile, home buyers are canceling deals at the highest rate since the start of the pandemic. And the share of sales agreements on existing homes canceled in June was just under 15% of all homes that went under contract. And this is the biggest share since 2020, when home buying paused immediately. Cancellations were about 11% 1 year ago. High mortgage rates and surging inflation are causing many potential home buyers to reconsider purchasing at this time. The phone lines are open, 512-248-8252. Now, India's central bank has now announced that they're going to settle international trade settlements in rupees. In other words, they're not interested in dealing with dollars anymore, that if you want to do business with India, you will convert your dollars to rupees, and they will be happy to do business with you using that currency. It's just like where Russia is now demanding payment in rubles. Other countries are starting to do the same. The de-dollarization of planet Earth is underway, and with it, one of the United States' most potent strategic weapons. So, beginning of the end here. Meanwhile, in Sri Lanka, their economy has completely collapsed. Their government is totally bankrupt. Inflation soared to 45.3% in May. Food costs soared 58%. And 86% of families are resorting to at least one coping mechanism, including eating less nutritious food, and even skipping meals altogether. So no wonder they're unhappy. Protesters stormed the presidential palace in Sri Lanka's capital, forcing the president to flee. They then went swimming in his swimming pool, and from the video, it looked like they were having a really good time. Then they burned the place to the ground. And the Sri Lankan president has been spotted leaving the country completely. Airport staff refused to stamp the passport of the president, preventing him from leaving the country for Dubai. And immigration officers refused to enter the VIP suite at Bandaranaike International Airport. So apparently he's sort of stuck in limbo there. And we'll see what happens with that. Okay, we have open lines, 512-248-8252. And we're going to go to Andy in Texas. Hello, Andy. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, hey, thanks, Mike, for taking my call. You know, Joe Biden came out and said, you know, when asked by one of the press up there, he said, how long do you expect the American people to withstand this $5-plus fuel and stuff? And he literally looked at him and said, however long it takes. We're in a transition period. So people need to get this in grips. This whole new Green Deal thing wasn't just something they threw from their hip. They're really going for it, at least here in the United States. Now, we see some people backing off in Germany and whatnot. They're saying, well, we'll accept oil and gas and whatnot. But the problem is with Germany is they have to accept it from Russia because they don't have their own. So yep. Just to say, and now they're talking about, oh, well, now we'll make nuclear power a Green Deal or whatever. So, yes. I mean, everything is, it seems like it's kind of falling apart in some respects. But here's another perspective on this. Everybody thinks that the BRICS out there, that these people are actually advocates against the New World Order. No. If you look at all the stuff that's been said throughout the countries who are thinking about joining BRICS and whatnot, they're down with this New World Order. They also had the lockdown. They also pushed their own vaccine. They also did all this stuff. So for us to think for 1 minute that, you know, what's happening in Ukraine with Russia is not theater, and what's going to happen with China and Taiwan or China and America or whatever's going on there, that it's not theater. I think this is all planned. I think people really, really need to realize that they wouldn't go for an entire New World Order unless they had every hand on deck, so to speak, to everybody's going to play their part. And they're going to show us some things that make it look like there's some diversity. Yeah, it's Russia versus Ukraine. It's Taiwan versus China. And in reality, it is the people versus these different countries, but it's the governments are working in tandem to make this all happen. This is the New World Order, and we're going to get it one way or the other. And then you look at the United States, and we just sit on our butts and pretend like this is all going to pass. Mike, how do we get through this? Because I'm one of those guys who are ready to just grab your arms, get with some neighbors, and let's go.
Yeah, you have a lot of company. You know? The latest polls are showing that a quarter of Americans are now ready to take up arms against the government. It's a very frightening number, but that's the number that's out there. I want to go back to something you said earlier in your call where Biden is saying this is a transition, and we know that part of Biden's agenda is to get us all out of gasoline and diesel-powered vehicles and into electric vehicles, but as I've already pointed out, it hasn't been thought all the way through. You know, right now Americans can't afford these electric cars. Claire and I looked for a hybrid or an all-electric, but they were too expensive. We got the Hyundai, which we loved. Best car I've ever had. But again, those batteries are still being charged for the most part with coal and oil and gas-fired power plants. Now, I think bringing nuclear back would be a good idea. It needs additional safeguards, as we learned at Fukushima and Three Mile Island and Chernobyl. You can't let the money junkies make the safety decisions regarding these power plants. I do think nuclear power can be handled safely. What we're going to do with the waste, that is still a problem that needs to be solved. We can't just let it sit there waiting for the next flood to you know, blow it all downstream. I'm hoping that there's going to be a breakthrough on fusion in the very near future, which would solve a lot of problems, or even going with thorium cycle reactors, which have a lot less of a nuclear waste disposal problem.
Well, hey, you know, on the same token, though, you got to wonder, because they're pushing for this. They're doing electricity when electricity is not even feasible. I mean, if you shut down all the coal power plants, nuclear plants, and everything that's not green, you know, quote unquote, green, if you shut all that down, you don't have near enough power to power any electric cars, so to speak, of 300
True.
Million people. So that's got to tell you straight up that they're either planning on a lot less of us being here and using the same electronic structure, or perhaps when they finally get to the less fewer that they want, they'll release the Tesla free energy, you know, with magnets and whatnot. I saw a really cool video of how he works, and it's just magnetic. It's all about magnetics. He gets free.
Well,
and
you know,
ley lines
think of magnetism more of a spring, and eventually springs need to be wound back up. But it has gotten so bad that down in Texas, Governor Greg Abbott has suspended all those free electric vehicle charging stations from operating because of the electricity shortage down there. So people with electric vehicles, you know, they're going to be out there admiring the Amish. I think you could probably hook up a team of horses to the front of that Prius.
Hey, you know what? I wouldn't be opposed to going. I watch a lot of Western shows and stuff, and, you know, as long as you stay in your neighborhood, horses are going to be just fine. If you want to go across country, well, just treat your horse right along the way and, you know, get your water holes. I'm kind of down with that because overall, I mean, you don't need a license to drive a horse or a buggy. Nobody, you don't have to go to driver's school. I mean, everything was so much freer back then.
No, I don't know about that last one. You know, it takes a little more skill to handle a horse than it does to handle a car.
Yeah, but your family taught you that. And that's the thing here is that we can't teach our kids how to drive a car and then just let them drive it. We have to get the state to approve it. I mean, if you had a horse, you could teach your kid how to ride a horse and you don't have to have the state approve it. That's how much more simpler it would have been back in the
Well, if we all moved to horses, you could guarantee the state would come in and say you have to have a horse license.
Absolutely. All right. Hey, Mike, thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much here. And we're coming up on a commercial break. We have open lines 512-248-8252. We've got callers waiting on the line, and we'll be right back.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Welcome back to our show here. We have open lines, 512-248-8252, and we're going to go to Joe in Tennessee. Hello, Joe. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. Zero Hedge had a good article about institutional collapse in this country, and it really is going on. I mean, what has any credibility of all our institutions? Maybe for me, the Supreme Court has a little bit left, but other than that, I mean, we all know about the FBI, the DOJ. Now the military's gone woke. You know, we got our tranny divisions and everything else. The media, the Republicans, the Democrats, everything's the colleges, now the medical system. It's all just a hollowed out shell of corruption ready to collapse. And to put an illegitimate president like Biden in, and now they want to have a war with China and Russia with our tranny army.
Mm-hmm.
I think a good percentage of this country will be looking upon the Russians and the Chinese as liberators. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I might not look at them as liberators, but I mean, what kind of government do we have? I'm a white Christian, and this is definitely not a representative government of my interests or my beliefs. It's actually the exact opposite. Everything bad and corrupt and rotten this country has become for, and everything decent and honorable, it's against. And so I'm not gonna lift one finger to defend at least the current regime, because that's what we have, is a regime in this country.
Yes.
And I just think that they've really jumped the shark. I mean, when you get an illegitimate president and you install him, you really should tell him to tread lightly, you know, and you really should tell the people behind him not to be too ambitious, because you really don't have the people behind you at all. Most of us know it was stolen right from the beginning. And they're really, I mean, the chutzpah of them doing it is remarkable, but the disaster it's causing, and it's going to cause on them sooner or later, is going to be historic. And like I said, I mean, I had a thing come from my grandson who's visiting from the Marines, and we just threw it right in the trash and laughed about it, you know, because they're probably having a hard time getting anybody good. I'm sure they'll
yes.
be full of, like, of malcontents and people that hate the country, and all these woke generals will have fun getting them all slaughtered, I guess, because those Russians aren't playing games. They're serious fighters. And not only that, the experience they're getting, they should be rotating most of their troops through Ukraine to get bloodied a little bit, so that they'll be ready. They're going to chew up NATO unless NATO has some kind of super weapons up their sleeves. But sooner or later, you got to have infantry. You got to have the guy with. You got to have the boots on the ground.
Yes, and, you do. That was the lesson of Vietnam. They thought they could win that war from the air, and they did not.
Yeah, but one thing, you know, I hope as when the dust settles, too much blame's going to be put on Biden, and not enough's going to be blamed on the policies. I mean, you could have put Biden in as an illegitimate president, and he could have, like, kept Trump's thing going with the energy independence. I mean, so everything he's caused happen is because
the people who foisted Joe Biden on us weren't interested in continuing Trump's policies, or they would have let Trump stay in office. The policies we're seeing being enacted are intended, and Biden is just the puppet ruler, and the forces behind him, you know, CIA and so forth, and the bankers are the ones really calling the shots.
But it's kind of like, I guess, the people behind Biden want to destroy the country, because everything they're doing is that's what it's leading to. And like I said, I just want to see them when they realize they got an army of wokesters that's ineffective. What are they going to do then? I can think they're going to bring back the draft, and I'm sure they're going to be putting all these Sergeant Ryan movies on, and all this war stuff will start.
Yeah.
They'll be singing, you know, Onward Christian Soldiers again, and telling white people how much the country loves them, you know, to march off to war when that happens. But I got to tell you, all these people, all these anti-war people, just remember, this thing with Ukraine would not be going on if Trump was still president. There's no doubt in my mind that a lot of this is happening because not enough people did enough to help keep Trump in office.
We certainly did our best, but again, the situation in Ukraine began before Trump got into office back in 2014 with that U.S.-backed coup d'etat that drove out the democratically elected Yanukovych and replaced him with the chocolate guy.
Yeah, no, I know that, but for the 4 years that Trump was president, the Ukrainians weren't shelling Donbass and Luhansk. That whole thing quieted down. It wasn't until Biden, who is on their payroll, and his son works for a Ukrainian gas company, got in, that they just started. The Ukrainians were emboldened to do, because they were the ones that were stirring this whole thing up. So that's what I mean. Trump never would have. It wouldn't have happened with Trump. He wouldn't have let the whole NATO expansion into Ukraine. It would have never. He's smart enough to know where this was going. The Russia was provoked. And who was provoking
Russia?
Yeah,
Russia's definitely provoked. Okay, Joe, I mean, first of all, Poroshenko and Zelensky are simply doing what they're told by their U.S. masters. I have to let you go. We got to take a break for commercials. We've got callers waiting on the line. 512-248-8252. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Well, they're stealing down on Wall Street and in Washington, too. You know, it makes me wonder, what's a guy on Main Street to do? I've always tried to be an honest, upstanding kind of guy. I must admit lately, I thought about giving something else a try. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas. Yeah,
welcome back to our show here. We have open lines, 512-248-8252. We're going to go to Frank in New York. Hello, Frank. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Mike, thank you very much for taking my call. I'm glad to see you're back hitting on all cylinders, it appears. And I'm sure it's tough when you're not feeling good and the bride's not feeling good, you know. So
yeah.
I'm glad you're back, and hopefully she'll be back soon. Mike, you know, you were talking earlier about the Saudis, okay, taking care of those people over in Yemen. Okay, you know, when Trump was president, okay, the House and the Senate both said, okay, we're going to stop helping the Saudis. This was after, okay, anyway, Trump vetoed the bill. Both houses passed it so that slaughter could continue. You know, when Trump, before he was a candidate, he said that the 9/11 Commission should look at Saudi Arabia, you know, because they had the 28 missing pages. And then when he gets in there, he goes over there and he sells them all these weapons, and then he vetoes that bill. You know, Mike, he also said about a month ago that Israel was controlling our Congress. And that's a good thing, he said. You know, when he went in there, and Mike, I was a big supporter, and I voted for him twice, okay? You know,
yeah.
I called him once before. I think I gave you a list, you know. He never, broken promises. He didn't build the wall. He didn't jail Hillary. Didn't get us out of the Middle East. Didn't get along with Russia. He didn't overturn Obamacare. He didn't get the vaccine commission going. No voter integrity commission. He didn't fix the infrastructure. He didn't bring back Glass-Steagall. And he didn't stop defunding the sanctuary cities. And I know he's better than Biden. You know, somebody's going to call up and say, oh, that guy loves Biden. Biden was a boob, Mike. I'll tell you, Trump had to beat him by 10 to 15 million votes, in my humble opinion. I mean, let's get real. Biden never left the cellar, his basement. You know, I mean, when he had a rally, they were all social distancing because they didn't have enough people to fill anything. I think I told you earlier.
Yeah.
Hillary came up to this area, you know, and they had to let a high school out, okay, the students to go over and fill up a gymnasium. Trump came here, and he had 13,000 people in the Albany Times Union Center, and he had a couple thousand people that still couldn't get in. But, Mike, he's broken a lot of promises. And, you know, he left Julian Assange twisting in the wind. One of the guys he pardoned on the way out was a guy named Sholem, what was his last name? It was a Jewish gentleman. I forget his last name right now. Weiss, that's what it was. And this guy had cheated people out of like $800 million, okay, over the years. Or $400 million, I'm sorry. Old people and insurance companies, you know what I mean? And Trump gave him a pardon. You know, and if Trump gets back in, and he'd be better than any Democrat, there's no doubt about that. But are we going to have Jared Kushner calling the shots again? You know, he was one of the key players in that whole situation.
I don't think so. There have been signs of a schism opening up between Donald Trump and Jared Kushner, and I think Trump is realizing that a lot of the bad decisions that came out of the Trump administration originated with Jared Kushner. Now, Trump is far from perfect, but he's certainly a lot better than anybody else who's on the horizon. Everybody else running for the office of president is totally compromised from beginning to end.
Well, DeSantis, Mike, DeSantis, but he's down there, okay, you know, He's looking good.
Yeah. And the Democrats are already starting to attack him, so they clearly think he's a threat.
Oh, I do, and Mike, he stood up to these people, you know what I mean, trying to push the gay agenda. He stood up to Disney. He stood up to those school boards and stuff. I think the guy's got some cojones, and I'd love to see him in there, you know. And, you know, Mike, I invested a lot of money in Trump, and I voted for him twice, you know, but, you know, people got to look at the overall picture, you know. I mean, people in your audience, most of us know that Israel's a pain in the fanny, you know, but, you know, he gave Israel all kinds of, Tel Aviv, you know what I mean, and he gave him the Golden Heights there and said, you call it this and do it that. And, you know, I think he let Jonathan Pollard off the hook, too. You know,
yep.
I mean, you know, he's done so much, you know what I mean? And, you know, and the broken promises and, you know, the people got to stay, you know, look at the whole picture. And I know you're a supporter, Trump, and, you know, I know he'd be better than anybody but DeSantis, in my opinion, okay? But he's got to follow through on some of these commitments, you know? I don't remember, but he came out of his meeting with Putin, and he said, well, why would Russia do this? And then his handlers had him out the next day, and he was sitting there like a little kid, and he was reading his speech. He said, why would Russia do that? I should have said, why wouldn't they do that? You know, I mean, you know, and of course, I don't know who's handling Biden. I think it's Barack Obama, and I think it's the intelligence agencies through Barack Obama
running
the Biden
intelligence
right now.
Agencies. I mean, I'm seeing CIA behind a lot of this, including the New York Times' sudden reversal on Biden. I think the CIA has put out the word, you know, we got to drop Biden and run Hillary in 2024.
They might do that, Mike. And by the way, I think you've been on the money a lot. You've been calling about these shooters being, you know, patsies or being set up. And you do see a lot of these guys, they do have, they've been, you know, in a mental hospital or they've been visiting a doctor or something for a couple days or, you know, I mean, at a time. They might have been, you know, put up in the hospital, or they might have visits or whatever. And I do believe that, you know, the psychotropic drugs are a big factor. I was shocked that Hoosier Tucker came out and really ripped into him. But then you look at his sponsors, he doesn't have any of them. You know what I mean? You got Pfizer's all over the place. I mean, the pharmaceutical industry runs the country. And the caller previous to me, he was right on the money saying a lot of this stuff is, you know, hollowed out. I mean, we're losing, you know, the laws. I mean, do we go after any of these Democrats? You know, Hillary belongs in jail. We all know that. You know, Bill was down at Jeffrey's place, what, 26 times on the Lolita Express? These people just get away with it. Why isn't Ghislaine, where's the media screaming for her? Hey, let's hear who the clients were.
Yeah, it's funny. We got the names of everybody who donated to the trucker convoy in Canada, but we can't get a single name of the people who went to Epstein's Island.
Exactly, Mike. What a joke, isn't it? It's a joke.
Yep.
I'll get up and let somebody else get on, brother. Thank you for letting me speak my piece. I appreciate it. You have a good day.
All right. You got it. And we have open lines 512-248-8252. And Trump is not perfect. I was very disappointed in a lot of the things he did, most especially dropping the ball on election integrity. But that really is, in my mind, the top issue. If we do not get honest, verifiable elections back in this country, then we have lost our country. and a government that can rig the elections any way they want, excuse me, will do whatever they want with the American people. They'll stand up there sending your kids off to war, looting you for money to pay for the war, and they'll say, well, you voted for this, really, honest, you voted for this. This is democracy in action. Okay, 512-248-8252. We're going to go to Mark in North Carolina. Hello, Mark. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing, Mike? Mike, hope you guys are doing well. You and Clara.
Yeah.
I heard that you're not feeling too good or something.
I had some kind of a bug last night when I was getting off the show, but it let go this morning. I mean, I had a COVID test. Right. It's not COVID. You know, I'm feeling back to normal right now. So whatever it was, 24-hour bug, I figure.
Yeah, I think I had COVID a few weeks ago. It took about 2 weeks to get over. But I didn't get tested or anything else, but I just had the symptoms that went along with it. You know, like chills, kind of muscle weakness, some muscle weakness.
Yeah,
feeling sluggish and sluggish, you know, really. So, you know, I didn't go to the gym for a couple of weeks. To, you know, I don't want to contaminate other people there and stuff. And I took it easy and I got over it. You know what I mean? I didn't get the test because it comes out now. We're finding, I knew this anyway, that the Chinese are involved in this, that they were actually put the stuff together that you stick up your nose, just like they're involved in the vaccine. So it's not that I'm not...
Yeah,
I'm
but
not
a lot of this is being funded by the United States. The Chinese are just subcontractors. Same thing with the labs in Ukraine.
Look, Mike, I don't trust our government, and I don't trust the Chinese government. The closest government I trust...
Oh, yeah. There isn't a government on this planet that's really trustworthy.
The closest government I'm as close to being to trusting is actually the Russian government today, because they're fighting against a lot of these stuff. Now, I just want to bring up, you know, that I think go into what I wanted to bring up, you know, going first with the Georgia Guidestones.
Yes.
And saying that you should only have like about 500 million people on the planet. This is behind a lot of what we're seeing going on now, including this transgender garbage, you know what I mean? With people going, you know, I saw something the other day, today, recently, on, I think it was on YouTube. And some woman, this black woman, saying that it doesn't matter if she's black. I don't care what color she is, but she's just, you know, she was, you know, talking with the usual uppity type accent, you know, like the we have California up talk type way, you know, we used to call Valley Talk. But anyway,
yes.
And talking about, you know, the birthing parent, you cannot say a woman only can give birth. Because you might have a tranny giving birth there because it calls itself a man, you know. This kind of nonsense is pushed, if you notice, by the tech companies who fortunately are having a hard time now. I think a lot of them are going under, including Twitter.
Yeah, they're struggling. They're losing users, and the stockholders are getting very unhappy.
It's their way, you know. If you get it, that's nonsense about a birthing parent, it's pure nonsense. What they want to do is they want to stop as many births as possible, whether they do with vaccines, with fake tests sticking up your nose, or whether, other kind of shots or medication or whatever else. They're trying to keep population lower and lower.
Well, I understand their concern about that. I mean, there's always going to be population problems because sex is a lot more fun than dying. My big issue with the population control people is they always want somebody else to die or go without children. And so anytime I meet somebody who says, you know, there are too many people on planet Earth, I say, well, there's a very tall building over there. You're free to go up on top and leap off and aim for a banker on the way down.
Yeah, just like you could say that with this climate garbage, they want us to, get out of our cars and use other alternative energy and all that while they fly around in their private jets. But they don't kid anybody. These are the enemies, Mike. These are the enemies, okay? The enemy is not Russia. It's not even, I don't even believe it's China. The enemy is internal and also has to do with the European Union. And that's why I'm all on the side right now of Russia in this war with Ukraine, because Ukraine is being, they say NATO. NATO has become nothing but the army of the New World Order, of the liberal order, like they like
yes.
to call them. They're globalists. All they are. And they're trying to push all these agendas also that the Russians, of course, don't want, because the Russians have done a about face with us. What was once a communist country is now a very religious country who values life. I'm not sure if they got rid of abortion yet. I know they're trying to lessen abortion and all that, and they're paying people to have children, you know, to have more children. So, you know, we're talking about, you know, a reversal in countries, and they don't want what's going on in the West in Russia. And good thing is too, they're winning the economic war.
Yes, they are. Well, it's not that they're winning the economic war. It's that our economy has been so badly managed and subverted by the weaponization that it's really not functioning as an economy any longer.
Yeah, well, not only our economy. You look at Europe, all of Western Europe. They're in worse shape than we are. Look what's
yes,
happening in Holland. Those patriotic bombers in Holland. We got to give them all the support we can, because they know who the enemy is. They know what the enemy is. The enemy is, you will, what is it? You will eat box, and you will own nothing. The box.
Yeah, you will own nothing and you will be happy. Yeah. Well, I don't know about that. But, you know, one thing about farmers, and having been a farm kid myself, they're realists. You know, they don't deal with what they're seeing on the TV. They're out there touching the soil, looking at the crops, and they know what's really going on. And so when the government starts lying about the state of agriculture and the economy, the farmers are the first ones to pick up on it, which is why over in the Netherlands there's that massive protest, which is now spreading to other countries, may even come here.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it will. Thank you. But Mike, before I go, I just want to ask you a question.
Sure.
What do you think with the Georgia Guidestone? Who do you think blew it up? Do you think it was good guys, the so-called white hats? Maybe probably within the military, because those kind of explosives that they had to use to bring the thing down would probably be, somebody was saying C4, that sounds good. C4, probably, it would sound like something you have either special forces or ex-special forces using. Or do you think maybe it's the globalists themselves? To hide something.
I really don't know, but looking at the Guidestones before they were fully demolished, I don't know that a high bris of explosive would really be necessary, because all it really seemed to do was lift the cap, and that allowed one of the verticals to fall down, and it shattered when it hit the ground. So
Hello, I understand it was more than just one that went down.
No, there was only one of the vertical stones went down. The rest were all knocked down when the monument was demolished.
Oh, I see. So you think it was just somebody pissed off or angry?
Yeah, probably. I think it's a footnote. You know, the liberals, of course, are trying to make a big deal about it, but, you know, it's not getting any traction.
Another thing, I don't know if you've seen this retarded commercial now in New York City, some woman giving instructions what to do in case of a nuclear attack.
Yeah, we talked about that. You know, we talked about that earlier in the show.
I'll tell you what the solution is. If you had a nuclear bomb headed towards New York City, the solution would be to stick your head we used to joke about it when I was in the Army. Stick your head between your legs and kiss your kiss goodbye.
Okay? Yeah, kiss your butt goodbye.
Because that's where you're going, goodbye. You know?
Okay, well, the reality is that in the event of a nuclear exchange, the major cities are not first-strike targets. It's the military bases and command posts, Mount Weather, the Greenbrier, Cheyenne Mountain, you know, the missile command places. They're certainly going to be hunting for those TACAMO and NECAP aircraft, which are probably going to be given paint jobs to look like United Airlines or something. They're not going to get to the cities until, like, the third wave, and that's when it's going to get ugly.
I think a city like New York would be in the first wave, because New York and Washington D.C., because it would destroy, it would be, it would be, it would really cut the head, cut off the head, because they both, you know, Washington, of course, is the center of the government in this country, including the Pentagon, and New York City, of course, is the financial capital, they say, of the world, but certainly of the United States. So I think those would be, those would have to be, would most likely be targets, just like I think
I agree with Washington, D.C. being a first strike target, which would be a shame. There's a lot of great museums there I've never had a chance to visit. I don't know about New York or Los Angeles to San Francisco. You know, it's going to be the first strike is going to be aimed at the U.S. ability to launch their own nuclear strikes. And so they're going to hit the military bases. They're going to hit the mooring facilities for the SSBNs. And, you know, it's going to get very, very messy. The second wave is going to go for infrastructure, knocking out power sources all across the country to just paralyze the place. And only after that, if the U.S. does not capitulate, will they start going after the population centers.
Yeah, but whoever was losing or winning would just retaliate. Okay, let's say Russia hits first, we hit them right back. If we hit first, Russia would hit us right back.
Yeah, they would. Do you remember the movie Dr. Strangelove?
Yeah,
you know,
I sure
and
do.
At the end, they talk about how the Russians had built this doomsday machine that would listen for a nuclear attack on their soil and automatically set off a whole bunch of bombs to end the world. It turns out Russia's actually built something like that. If the U.S. or anybody else launches a nuclear weapon into Russia, automatically all of their nuclear missiles will launch.
And I'm surprised. Wouldn't be surprised if we have the same thing. So
very well could be.
Okay. It would be no survival, Mike. Okay, maybe a few people in a like Book of Eli type of situation, you know, or what was that movie with Mel Gibson there in Australia?
Mad Max, Thunderdome.
Mad Max situation, but that's about it. Pretty much, the world would be certainly civilization. I think Einstein's prediction would come true. He doesn't know who would win World War III, but World War IV would be fought with sticks and stones. And I think that's pretty true. Hi, Mike. I'm sure you got other people waiting, all right?
Yes, I do. Thank you very much. Here, we're skipping the last commercial break, and we're going to go to Marco in Alabama. Hello, Marco. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, first and foremost, you know, to everybody that's, downing Trump, dude, right now, there's one thing that we got to realize, everybody, is that the eventual goal is to outlaw the Republican Party.
Yes.
You know, we need to stay with the woman that we brought to the dance. Despite how you feel, you know, of DeSantis' rising attention, we need a free state, you guys. We don't really have a free state, dude, right now. And you know, Texas, you know, is compromised, you know, with... You know, the governor that you guys have there, I mean, he's a neocon. You know, Florida is the home base that everybody can run to and overcrowd, yeah, of course, you know, but to get away if we don't succeed. I mean, we have to stay with the girl that we brought to the dance. You know, all of you guys, you know, complain about what Trump didn't do. Well, you guys know something. You guys shouldn't have turned your backs, you know, to us when we were protesting inside of the Trump rallies. When I was at Alabama and Trump was sitting there talking about, you know, the vaccines and we were booing the vaccines, there was a segment of Trump supporters, very large, that turned around and booed us to the ground. The only way that we are going to get Trump to do anything is to protest inside the Trump rallies so he sees that we're not happy. And he does something when, you know, to sit here and, you know, boost his ego, because he is an egocentric person. And if enough people are protesting a certain issue inside of the Trump rally, and we sit here and get all these old people on board, you know, with this vaccine stuff, dude, because there was a lot of good Americans, you know, who rolled up their sleeves believing in Donald Trump, dude. But Donald Trump, dude, had to sit here and get on top of Operation Warp Speed, you guys. They were sitting there planning a top-down integration of our economy and locking us down, dude, for 10 years. I mean, this is the plan, dude. You know, they want Trump gone. Trump America will never be a socialist country. You know, he basically pointed his fingers due to at the globalists and said, bring it on. And that's why they want him gone so bad. And
yes.
All of you guys do that want DeSantis right now, I understand. But on the other hand, DeSantis does not have the power, dude, that Trump has. Trump has billions of dollars, and they wouldn't fight him so bad with propaganda if it wasn't necessary. And you guys got to understand this, dude. All of you people, dude, if you guys want Trump to do something, you got to start protesting inside the Trump rally. Bring your sign.
The problem with that is you're dealing with a personality cult. And that's true of every politician out there. Their fanatical supporters are part of a personality cult. They're not interested in the issues or the facts. They're there to worship. And that's true of Nancy Pelosi. It's true of Obama. It's true of Donald Trump. And yes, definitely protest against the vaccines, but do it someplace where you're going to be heard and seen.
Yes, exactly. Where are you going to get heard and seen, Michael, when we're sitting there getting shut down by the media? Our only safe place is inside of a Trump rally. And all that stuff, where we know for sure, dude, that we're not going to sit here and get attacked by Antifa, that we know for sure that we're not going to get attacked by a certain segment of the population, and Trump isn't going to want, dude, this embarrassment. I mean, basically,
okay, well,
Marco,
we're coming to the end of the show. I want to grab another couple of phone calls here, so thank you very much. We're going to go to Tom in Florida. Hello, Tom. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Michael, can you hear me?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah, I love Marco's passion. He's got a lot of good points. Listen, Michael, I'll make this quick. First off, you saw what happened in Philadelphia with the Afro-American man, 73 years old, beaten to death by like seven kids, and one was 10 years old, and the other was 14 years old.
Yeah, I saw that.
If that would have been white kids doing a black man, he'd be on the news for the next 60 days. But they're keeping it hushed up. The only one network's really talking about it. They beat the man to death with a traffic cone, Michael. With a traffic cone. When it was big cones, they beat the man over the head like 15 times. Watch the video. It's unbelievable what they did to that guy. Kicked him, beat him, and he died and rotted in a hospital or when he was in the hospital. I can't remember the whole story, but murder. It was just total murder. And I don't care if he's 14. I don't care if he's 10. In some countries, what they do to him. They cut their heads off. But let's talk about what's really going on here, Mike. Let's talk about South Florida here, Mike. Have you heard the real news about what's going on with Telemundo? Radio Mambi?
The one of the hosts there is resigning rather than being taken over by Soros.
No, Mike, it's not one. There's just now on the news, they're talking, the South Florida news, they're talking six of them. Six people just now resigned from Radio Mambi. They're all leaving
Mambi
because
them.
They say Soros. Yeah, exactly. And they're saying this guy's a full-blown communist, schmuck, okay, Hungarian Jew, who's wanting to destroy Hispanic networks, make them all liberal, to hate Republican Party, like Marco was saying, to turn them all a bunch of liberal communists.
Okay, Tom, I'm sorry to do this. There's the music. The show is over. My apology to the caller still waiting on hold. Please call in tomorrow. Stay tuned for the National Intel Report. Michael Herzog is taking the microphone. Please spread the word of republicbroadcasting.org. Spread the word of whatreallyhappened.com. Please continue to donate and support us through these very, very dark times. And we'll be back tomorrow. Aloha, America.
President Biden's approval rating is lower than Nixon's on the day that he left office in disgrace. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. Only 8% in a recent survey think that the Ukrainian war should be Biden's number one priority, while 38% said that fighting inflation should be number one. Spending $5 billion a month on a foreign war raises inflation even more. Making it even worse, Biden stated that the U.S. will be involved in Ukraine as long as it takes. 35% of small business owners couldn't pay their rent in full last month, and most blame the record-breaking inflation. You know, the inflation that the White House called transitory. Food costs are up over 10%, energy costs have jumped 35%, housing costs are surging with no end in sight. Hey Joe, can you at least pretend to worry about our problems here at home? Support transparency from Congress by visiting liberty-lighthouse.com/HR46.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.